Job chapter 23. Will you turn there in Job chapter 23? And while you're turning there, I thank the Lord for the ministry of the highway shepherd. That's what he's talking about, the CDs. God burned my heart several years ago, 1993, matter of fact. I was pastoring in Valdosta, Georgia, and I came home here to North Carolina, and Dr. Kanoe over at Church Street Baptist Church asked me if I'd come preach for him while I was home, and I did. And he had a fellow teaching Sunday school class there, big old truck driver guy, and he's talking about witnessing. He said, I'm big as I am, I'm a little bit intimidated sometimes to witness. So he said, what I do is I give out Dr. Kanoe's cassettes. They begin to talk about truck driving. Well, I preach and travel all over, everywhere, and I know what he's talking about. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the highways are full and getting fuller all the time. There's one truck stop in California that 123,000 transfer trucks go through that one truck stop every week. 123,000 trucks go through there every week. And so you look out anywhere and you want to and you see them. But anyhow, God burned my heart. And so we started down there in 1994, put out one little box on I-75, and now they're all over the country. The last several years, we got a lot of truckers. In fact, I talked to a trucker this morning, Brother Gary Gaither. He was down in South Carolina, but he's from Erie, Pennsylvania. But Gary was a Catholic 54 years, and he got saved about 4 years ago through the ministry, listening to CDs. And boy, he's on fire for the Lord. He was in 45 different churches last year, but he helps me, and he puts out CDs for me across the country. But I got a lot of truckers. Had one trucker out of Atlanta. His name was Charlie One Horse. He's moved to Colorado now. But Charlie went to 120-something truck stops every year, different ones. He traveled out Midwest and all that through there. And I thank the Lord. But please pray for the ministry. And God's been good to us in that realm. I thank the Lord for Eric and Laura, for their family, and for Mikey. They mentioned Mikey. Mikey's a big part of their ministry and their life. Looking with me, please, and I'm glad my wife's here. I appreciate my wife coming. I know she's weary and from all that she did for the latest conference, but we're glad to be here. Job chapter 23, I want to read beginning at verse number 8. Behold, I go forward, and he's not there, and backward, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would give me, Lord, unction. I pray, God, for that anointing that'll make the difference. Thank you, our Father, for this dear pastor, for his precious family, for the faithfulness of Brother Frank here, not only here, but all across this country. He preaches in camp meetings or revivals, for the burden he has for the Native Americans there out in New Mexico and Arizona and all out through that part of the country. I pray, God, that you'd bless him. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Cody and his precious family. I thank you, God, for the burden of evangelism you put on him. And for Brother Daniel, God, what a touch. God, thank you for blessing my heart this morning through this dear man of God. Lord, again, thank you for Eric and Laura, and I pray, God, your blessing on them. God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to help me. God, I want to be a blessing to your people. I pray you'd speak to my heart, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Every one of us go through difficult times, and we face a lot of those. And as you go through those times, God is in control. On several occasions last night, Brother Cody mentioned the fact we have a sovereign God, and he is exactly that. I want you to know he's still in control of everything. I want you to notice in the first place this morning, Job's dilemma. Job's dilemma. Back in chapter number 1, I won't go back and read it for the sake of time, and I want to give plenty of time, Brother Cody. I don't want him to feel rushed this morning. But back in Job chapter 1, it says, there was a day. You read that passage of Scripture, you circle that word day. I've had some bad days when my transmission went out or something like that, but I've never had a day like Job had. Job had a day that he lost all of his livelihood. He lost all of his sheep. He lost all of his oxen. Lost all of his ass. Lost everything like that. He lost every bit of his livelihood in one day. He lost all of his children in one day. Well, that's a day. You ever had a day like that? Man, he had a day. Job had a day. And yet he said this. In all of this, he did not charge God foolishly. He didn't sin. He didn't charge God foolishly. And notice what it says. I do want to turn back and read that for you in Job chapter 1. I want to read one little phrase or last few verses. Notice what it says in verse 20. After all these things have happened. Now watch this. Let me just share this with you right quick. You know what happened? The devil came and he said, the Lord said, where have you been? He said, I've been going forth to and through the world. And he said, if you consider my servant Job, he said, you put a hedge around him. And he said, he just serves you because you blessed him. And listen, if you just serve God because of the physical or the appearance of blessings in life, you'll quit. You won't go fast. Right. And every time since you won't see the blessing of God, I promise you that. Notice what Job said. Job said in this passage of Scripture, he said, when the storms came. Now listen, there was a time when the Sabaeans came and they did this and that and the other. Somebody else came. But one time, the fire of God fell from heaven. And one time, the wind came. And sometime when you recognize what's going on in your life, you say the devil's doing that, you'll bow up, you'll stiffen your back, you'll keep on. But there'll be times you'll have a question mark. Oh boy. Why is God doing this? It was the fire of God that failed. It was a wind, and God controls the rain and the wind. And it was a wind that came. Sometimes you won't understand all the things that happen in your life. Matter of fact, if you'll notice what Job said this. He said, I looked on this side and he wasn't there, and I looked on that side and he wasn't there, and I looked that way and he wasn't there. I couldn't find God nowhere. And I'm glad for the times that God's made himself so real I could touch him. I'm glad I felt his presence so big and so real. But there's times in my life and ministry when I didn't know God was 100 miles from where I was at. You're going to have those too. I promise you will. You'll have them. But Job said this in the latter part of this passage of Scripture, verse 20. And Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And he worshipped. And he worshipped. Let me tell you something. There's sometimes when the fire falls. There's sometimes when sickness comes. There's sometimes when everything in the world happens. You'll worship God. Thank God for those days. There's been those times like that when I could worship God. Turn over a little bit further, if you will, in chapter number 19. In Job chapter 19. And notice here again, you remember the story. He lost all that in one day. There was another day in Job's life when the devil came back. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah. He said, I did all those things to him. He said, but skin for skin, a man to give all that he has for his own life. And he said, you can touch him. And so he did, tucked his head, sore his feet, became a sore, all those things, everything. And yet God, listen, Job still worshiped God. Notice what it says here in this passage of Scripture. In Job chapter number 19, notice in this passage of Scripture, verse 25, and he said this, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Can I tell you something? Listen, there's time when the fire falls, and you can worship.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for those days. Thank God when he's real. And when the whole world's falling apart, you're still praising God. There's sometimes when the fire falls and things happen, you can worship. There's sometimes when the fire falls and things happen, you can witness. You'll be a witness. You'll witness. But now what? When I was up in Reedsville, pastor many years ago, Brother Frank, I was up in that area and known him a long time. But there was a fellow prayer you remember, Brother Frank. His name was Coley. Old Coley would go around singing revivals. I ain't never heard him sing a whole song. He had an old guitar and he'd hit it about twice. And he'd get to crying. I mean, he'd get to crying, wiping tears, and shouting and hooping and hollering. Boy, it'd come unglued, and everybody's getting... A lot of people said, that's all put on. That's all show. He knows how to stir a crowd. I didn't live far from him. They called me one night. I said, Brother Billy, go quick. I said, Coley's house is on fire. And I got over there. And listen, Coley's standing there, and his wife and his little girl holding on to her mama's leg, and their house was just a pile of just glowing embers laying on the ground. And I walked up to him and I said, God, help me know what to say to Coley. Help me say something to him to help him. And I walked up to him, he turned, and the glow from the ashes of his house was radiating on his face, tears rolling on his face. And here's what he said. He said, Brother Billy, God give me that and he'll give me another.
Woo.
I won't ever forget it. There's time when the fire falls that you can worship.
Yeah.
The first mention of gold in the Bible is in the book of Genesis. And it says there's much gold in the land of Havilah. You know what Havilah means? Havilah means to writhe, or to twist, or to turn. Job said, I looked on my right hand, I couldn't find him. On my left hand, I couldn't find him. I looked behind me, and I couldn't find him. I looked on this side, and I couldn't find him. You ever seen a dog get hit by a car? I mean, a dog you pet and love, but when you get to him, he's just going around and around in a circle. If you try to help him, he'll bite you because he's in such agony and pain. I've never had a kidney stone, but I've known my daughter just got through going through a surgery for one. And listen, when somebody has that kidney stone, 99% of the time, God bless my wife, she had one. She didn't have any pain, but they couldn't believe it. Had to take it out surgically, but she didn't have any pain. And God just answered her prayer in that regard. But listen, when you're writhing in pain, Havilah means there's much gold there.
Oh, yeah.
There's much gold there. When you can't find him, you can't touch him, you can't hear him, you can't feel him, there's much gold there. Amen. God's doing something for you. Amen. Listen, God's working in your life. Listen, let me say this to you. There's a purpose behind it.
Yes.
There's a purpose behind that fire. Listen, when he said, I shall come forth as gold, he's talking about the process. I shall come forth as gold. There's a process in that gold.
Amen.
And listen, it has to be an extreme heat to process that gold. It's purposed and it's painful. You can't get around it. It's painful. I don't care how much you pray, I don't care how much you seek God, there's going to be time that you're going to go through painful experiences.
Yes, sir.
And it's going to be real. I'm preaching through the book of Acts. Cody's preaching, or Brother Daniel's preaching through the book of Ephesians. But I'm preaching through, and I read last week about when they stoned Paul and brought him out. And my number one point was this: rocks do hurt. You think God insulated Paul's body, you're crazy as a bat. That the rock, when they were hitting him, they thought he's dead. They were good at stoning. They'd done it before. They'd stoned Stephen. They killed him dead as a wedge. But I'm going to tell you something. They thought they had killed Paul. I really believe it. Boy, listen, it hurt. And it does hurt. You're human. Stones hurt. Listen, when that fire falls and it goes on your life, you're hurt. You're hurt. It's painful. My dear friend, watch this. He's talking about the process. Fire is absolutely necessary. And he goes through that. 1 Corinthians, he said, listen, Paul said, I want you to understand something. He said, there was a time in my life when I was pressed beyond strength, above measure. I even despaired of life. But he said, I learned this. I trust him, not myself.
Amen.
And God will bring you to a point and put you through some stuff where you can trust him and not yourself.
Amen.
You trust him. You'll trust him. Listen, let all that fire falls. Fire that's applied to that ore does not produce gold. Fire does not produce gold. It only reveals it.
Amen.
And my dear friend, what God the Holy Ghost has done in your heart and life can only be revealed through sometimes of fire and suffering and those hard times. God's putting them through it. Listen, he's talking about the process. I shall come forth as gold. You're going to go through it. I was down in Florida pastoring many years ago at old Mount Zion campground down there. Brother Mays came every year and preached for us. And we had a lot of young preachers there. And I was a young preacher myself. I was a young preacher. But we had one young preacher come through. Boy, he was a ball of fire. I mean, he's the best thing since split bread. And I loved him. I loved him. Everybody loved him. And boy, he preached in a meeting one morning, and it was just all over the place. And they were sitting around at dinner time talking, and everybody was talking about how great he was and how God's going to use him in an awesome way and all that, all about this, all the wisdom he had, how he could outline on the back of a postage stamp and all those things, all the inside he had, touch of God on, power of God on him. There's an old preacher there. His name was Jesse Norris. Most of you never even heard of him. But Jesse saw a real revival down in Louisiana many years ago. He was instrumental many years ago in Myrtle, Mississippi. Jesse walked with God. He's spooky. I tell you, I felt like he could know what I was thinking. I'm just be honest with you. He's that close to God. He'd get a hold of God. He had God all over him. Everybody was talking about that young preacher, and Jesse didn't say a word. And the circle kind of come around to Jesse, and he just sat there. And somebody said, Brother Jesse, what do you think? He didn't even look up. He said, I think God will stand him on his nose somewhere down the road. Because he knew. See, Jesse had discernment. There's something in that young boy's life that only a heartache would help. And my dear friend, that gold is revealed by fire. And it's going to come. I promise you it's coming. And it'll reveal gold in you. Listen, 24 karat gold. The way they used to weigh that gold is with a little seed called a currant seed. And when they refined that gold, they'd heat it. And, you know, they'd skim off the top and all of that. And when it got to be 24 karat is when it was clear. I heard it may have been Elizabeth Elliott on radio some time ago. But when they heat that gold in there, and they'll skim it off, and they let it sit, and it'll heat some more, and they skim it off again, let it heat some more, and skim it off again. And that old-time refiner, he'd watch it. And when it got to be what's called pure gold, 24-karat gold, when the ripples got off that gold, he could look in it, and he could see his reflection perfectly.
Yes.
It was pure gold. Now, God is not going to be through with you until he brings you forth as pure gold. Pure gold, my dear friend, first of all, is malleable. That means it's soft.
Yes, sir.
And if you look in that Job that I just read you, Job chapter 23, let me show you something. In Job chapter 23, and I look down at verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. I have been blessed by hearing what Cody said and what Daniel said. I grew up in the age of the legalist. And I, like he said last night, I are one, or I were one. But God has tendered my heart over the years. I prayed for Cody and for his dear wife, for their boy and for their family. When God called me in the ministry, our little girl, Christy, our oldest daughter, had leukemia. I surrendered to the ministry in February, and she died just before she was 3 years old in March. There was a man who ran a funeral home there. His name was, I forgot his name, honey. What's his name? Mr. Hockaday. He's our funeral home director. He was more like a preacher. That man loved us, held us, cried with us, and all the things went through in the little funeral for our little girl, Christy. And I tell you, it was a blessing. And I found out during those days, the reason he could do that, he was a professional, I know that. But the only person who can cry on cue is an actor. He wasn't acting. The Bible said you weep with those who weep, you rejoice with those who rejoice. It doesn't mean you're putting on a show. It means you feel it. He wept with us because just a few weeks before, he buried his 14-year-old daughter who died with leukemia. Not long after we buried our little girl, Mr. Hockaday called me and he said, Billy, I want you, Regina, help me do something. I said, it ain't going to be easy. And I said, Mr. Hockaday, if I can help you, I'll sure do it. He said, not far from where y'all live, there's a mother. I buried her infant baby just a few weeks ago. And a while ago, they got a little 4-year-old boy, and he was in the backyard with Daddy. And Mama had flowers, and she's backing out of the driveway to go to the grave and put on her infant baby's grave. And a little 4-year-old slipped away from Daddy and ran around behind the car. She didn't see him. She just run over her little 4-year-old boy in the driveway. Me and my wife went over, didn't know the woman, she didn't know us, knocked on the door. My wife was standing in front, and when that woman opened the door, they just melted together. And they went and sat on the couch, and I went and sat beside them. And they just sat there and held one another and cried and cried and cried. I don't think we ever said a word.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what God will do. God will tend to your heart.
Yes, he will.
And that gold, when it's pure gold, it's malleable. It's easy to be molded. Listen, that gold, when it's pure gold, it is ductile, means it can be stretched. Matter of fact, they can make a wire, and they make what's called gold leaf. And just a small amount of gold, they can cover 1,000 square feet with it. But they can take that gold and they can pull it to a very fine wire. And it is the best conductor of anything you've ever seen, best conductor of electricity. The satellites that orbit the Earth, and when you watch the television or whatever, and you just satellite signals, all the circuitry in those satellites are made out of pure gold. Number one, because they are non-corrosive.
Oh, yes.
And they are non-reactive. God will put you through the fire to where you will not overreact to circumstances and situations. God will fix you to where you're non-corrosive. You watch these folk that walk with God. They're people who've been through the fire. Been through the fire. But when I studied about gold, I found out that gold, and when it's stretched and made a wire, it is the best conductor of electricity that you can ever find. You see, there's a certain amount of resistance when power comes in this end and comes out that end. There's a certain amount of resistance, and so there's a reduction of power when it comes out of this end. But if it's pure gold, what comes in this end comes out that end, and it's not restricted. God will put us to a place and he'll send us through the fire to where the power of God can flow through us without any restriction. Paul said, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of God might rest upon me. That gold is not only good for conducting electricity, it is the best, in any kind of circuitry for receiving and transmitting signals. You think about this now. Several thousand miles up here, they sent a signal up there, and it comes back down here. I talked the other night on my cell phone to one of our missionary friends in the Philippines, a Filipino pastor, on my little cell phone, little piece of plastic. He is halfway around the world.
Yeah.
I could hear him as clearly as I'm hearing you, and you're hearing me right now. Because that gold circuitry and those sound boards and everything that's up there, and Eric knows all about all that stuff. I don't know anything about it. But I do know this. I do know that it comes out, if it goes through pure gold, it comes out without any distortion. And God, the Holy Ghost, will get us to the place to where what he says to us can come out without any distortion. You've been exposed to everything in the world. You've heard all kind of preaching. You've been around all kind of people, like the crowd that Brother Daniel's talking about. But God will put us through the fire so that what he says to us comes out without any distortion.
Amen.
It'd be exactly the pure word of God. And I found out that I have taught way, way too much in my life. When I was pastoring down in Valdosta, Georgia, I had a message, and I preached one Sunday morning for about an hour and a half on perseverance, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. And there's an old fellow down there named Harold Barnes, and I done wore them out preaching on keeping on, keeping on. And when Harold Barnes come out, he shook my hand. He said, "Preacher, was you trying to tell us to grunt and go on?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I wish you'd have said that to start with. We'd got home sooner." I'm going to tell you, if it's the Holy Ghost and he gives you a word,
yes,
you don't have to expound on it. It appears hearts.
Oh,
and it could be one word at the Dollar General store, one word at the Walmart.
Right.
And if it's without any distortion, if it's not just Baptist lingo, but if it's a word from God, it'll speak to hearts. I walked into the Dollar General not long ago and I'm rushing around. I needed some oil in my car. Most preachers need oil in the car. And I run in there to get a quart of oil. Wasn't nobody in the store but me. And I run in, and as I was walking through the register, the Holy Ghost of God said, "Speak to that lady." I gave him my money, and I run on out the door. I got to the sidewalk, and he said, "I told you." I turned around, went back. By that time, there were some other folk come in. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I don't know." I said, "But the Lord just spoke to me that I just need to speak to you." That woman broke down, went to crying. And she said, she didn't know I was a preacher. I didn't look like a preacher. Wouldn't dress like a preacher. And she said, and she didn't go into detail. She said, "I have had a horrible, horrible morning." And I said, "I'll tell you something." I said, "The Lord made this promise. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he cares for you. Cast all your cares on him." I said, "Can we pray right here?" She said, "Yes." And I just had a brief word of prayer with that lady. And listen, God blessed her. God helped me. If God will bring us to the place where the Word of God and his message just flow through us without any distortion, and it'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing if God would allow us to do that. Gold is the greatest insofar as sound is concerned. It can communicate without any distortion. But it's also the greatest receptor of messages. I mean, when you send things in, there's some sort of interference or distortion or another thing. But if that message is transmitted into pure gold, it receives it just exactly like it is. And my dear friend, God wants to bring me and you to a place to where we can hear what he says. I'll tell you what Job said. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him."
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, people talking about patience is Job. Job to me is the greatest example of faith. Because if you get to the place that you don't have to have the feel good,
that's right,
and don't have to have the physical blessings, and just to know him,
yeah,
that makes all the difference in the world.
Oh.
I'm through. There's a lot of things I could say about the health benefits of all that business, but I want to give Cody time. As a famous painter, his name was Renoir. And his paintings sell for millions and millions of dollars, some of them priceless. What most people don't know about Renoir in the last several years of his life, the masterpieces he painted then are the most valuable. Not because of the years of experience. But he had a crippling, debilitating arthritis that he eventually died from. And his hands twisted and gnawed and didn't have all the pain aids they have now. But he lived in total agony. Renoir would get up in the morning, he'd hold the palette of paint, and he'd take a brush and he'd dip a paint and he'd stroke a canvas, and then he'd have to cradle his hand and he'd weep for pain. And he'd make one more stroke and he'd weep for pain. One of his friends came one morning and watched that laborious task and watched him for several moments. And he stepped into the room and he said, "Renoir, you're a fool. Why do you continue to paint in the pain that you're in?" Renoir raised his brush to the canvas and he said, "One day the pain will end, but the beauty will remain." Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you're doing something in our lives this morning, and all of us, God, all that we've been through is that we might come forth as pure gold. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name.